The future of the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, is once again uncertain today after a federal appeals court struck down a key portion of the law yesterday. That key portion is the individual mandate, which requires that people have health insurance or pay a penalty. The court decided to send the case back to a lower court to determine if the rest of the Affordable Care Act can exist without that mandate. If the ACA is struck down, some 20 million people would lose their health coverage and 50 million people could be denied coverage because they have pre-existing conditions. Joining us now is Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jeremy.
Okay, so I'm going to just ask you, because this gets very complicated very quickly, but what does this ruling mean?
Well, this ruling means basically what you said at the very top, that the Affordable Care Act remains in limbo. We don't know what's going to happen to it. We don't actually even know what the next step is going to be in the legal proceedings. There are a couple of possibilities, but basically sort of politically, the Affordable Care Act might be allowed to stand, or it might be struck down in part, or it might be struck down in full. We just don't know yet.
Well, and let's remind people about the individual mandate, because the individual mandate was a key part of Obamacare that said that you have to have health insurance, otherwise you have to pay a tax penalty. But then when the Trump administration came in, they reduced that penalty to zero, but the mandate is still there. So this court says that makes it unconstitutional?
That's right. And it wasn't the Trump administration. It was Congress. Congress tried to repeal the Affordable Care Act in 2017, and they rather famously didn't have the votes when John McCain wouldn't join them. So in the tax bill that they did in December of that year, they reduced the penalty to zero. It was part of the tax bill. And a bunch of Republican attorneys general said, aha, if there's no more penalty, then it's no longer a tax. And if it's no longer a tax, then it's unconstitutional. That was their argument. And they found a lower court judge in Texas who agreed with them. And he said that not only is the mandate now unconstitutional, the rest of the law has to fall with it. The appeals court said, we agree that the mandate without the actual tax amount is no longer constitutional, but we're going to send it back to the lower court to take another look at how much of the rest of the law really requires the mandate to stand. Now, the actual irony of all this is that the penalty's been gone for almost a year now. It disappeared on January 1st of 2019. The law has been functioning just fine without it. So the argument that penalty is necessary to make the law function is demonstrably not the case.
That people are still buying health insurance even without a penalty, saying, you know, that is held over them, saying if you don't buy it, you're going to have to pay this penalty.
That's right. It turns out, and this is not necessarily what Congress thought at the time, but it turns out that the subsidies that helping people afford their insurance is a bigger boost to people buying insurance than the threat of a fine that in the end wasn't all that big anyway. So now that the subsidies are there, and in some cases the subsidies have been made larger, people are happy to buy health insurance. Now, it's true that the number of people buying insurance on the marketplaces is down a little bit, and part of that is due to the better economy. People have other options for insurance, and the Trump administration trying not to do any outreach. But there's still robust enough enrollment that the law is not in any threat of sort of imploding, which is what the concern was if there was no penalty.
So, Julie, does this put Republicans in a tough spot politically, because they had campaigned for getting rid of the Affordable Care Act? But in the last election, they came out and said they like the pre-existing conditions part of it that protects people with pre-existing conditions and makes sure that they can get coverage. We haven't heard very much about it since the 2018 election. I mean, what are they going to say now? Are they going to say they hope that this lower court just strikes down the whole law or not?
Well, no, I think probably what they deep down hoped was that the appeals court would overrule the lower court and say, yeah, everything is fine. I mean, they don't like the law, but what they would like even less would be for the law to go away, because they don't have a replacement that they can agree on. And there are a lot of popular things in the law. And one of the big ironies from the big fight in 2017 is that the law, which had been sort of bumping along somewhat popular but not very, now has much stronger support among the public. So if the law went away, the Republicans would be kind of on the wrong side of that, except for, you know, their very small base. So the idea this could go directly to the Supreme Court, it could still be decided this year, that's that will sort of challenge both Democrats and Republicans in some ways. It's a big game of chess right now.
Has the Supreme Court, though, with its new makeup, changed the dynamic on this issue? Because it was John Roberts who said Obamacare is constitutional with this mandate.
That's right. The assumption is that Roberts would rule with the four liberals if it went to the Supreme Court now. But of course, you don't know that for sure. That's why this is all about rolling the dice.
Interesting. So what's next? How long is this going to take?
If it goes back to the lower court, it could literally take years. If it goes to the Supreme Court, it could be this year or it could be next year. But, you know, we're going to have to live with the uncertainty for a while longer.
All right. Well, that means we'll be able to keep coming back and talking to you about what's going on with the Affordable Care Act. Julie
Ravner. You know where to find me.
We do. Julie Ravner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.